Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're tackling a concept that's, well, it's rapidly becoming fundamental if you're serious about making AI work in the real world. Retrieval augmented generation, RAG for short.
Yep, RAG. We've been looking at some material, an article really, that lays it out pretty clearly. It explains what it is, and maybe more importantly, why it's such a big deal right now.
Right, because everyone's seen what these large language models can do. Mm-hmm. You know, the GPTs, PaLM, Gemini, Llama, Claude. They're amazing with language.
Totally phenomenal.
Yeah.
Generating text, understanding it. But, and this is what the source material we looked at really points out, these models, powerful as they are, they have some built-in limits. Like, right out of the box.
Okay, let's unpack this then, because they seem so smart. What are these constraints? What does the article actually highlight?
Well, the text is pretty direct about the main problems. First off, their knowledge is basically frozen in time.
Frozen.
Yeah, it's static. It's limited to whatever massive data sets they were trained on. So if something happened after that training cutoff date, the model just doesn't know about it.
Oh, okay. So asking about, like, market news from yesterday or some brand new research, it won't have the latest.
Exactly. It's completely unaware. And the second big one, especially if you're thinking about using this in a business, is that they can't access private information. Yeah. Non-public stuff. Proprietary company knowledge.
Right. Internal reports, databases, specific customer info, that kind of thing.
Precisely. It wasn't in the public training data, so the LLM can't see it, can't answer questions based on your internal documents or processes.
So you can't just ask it, hey, what were the key findings from last quarter's internal review?
Nope, not the base model. And then there's the third issue the source talks about, hallucinations.
Right, I've heard that term. They just make things up.
Sort of. They're designed to generate text that sounds plausible based on patterns they learned. But sometimes that leads them to state incorrect information very, very confidently. It sounds totally convincing, but it's factually wrong.
Which is obviously a huge problem if you need accuracy,
sure.
Especially with specific, current, or, you know, sensitive internal data. So, okay, these are pretty big limitations. How do we actually make these models useful for those kinds of tasks? Is this where RAG comes in?
This is exactly where the article positions RAG. It's presented as a really practical, pretty powerful way to bridge those exact gaps we just talked about.
Okay, giving the LLMs the context they're missing.
That's the core idea, yeah.
Okay, here's where it gets really interesting then. If RAG is the solution, what is it? What does the source material say retrieval augmented generation actually means?
So the text describes RAG basically as a technique, a method to seriously boost the quality and relevance of a language model's output. And the key thing is, it does this by feeding the model extra relevant data along with the user's input without having to retrain or change the underlying LM itself.
So you're giving it extra info on the fly.
Pretty much. And that extra info, that supplemental data, it can come from external sources, things that are kept up to date, or, and this is crucial for businesses, it can come from an organization's own private knowledge base, internal documents, databases, whatever.
So instead of the LLM just guessing based on its old training data, you're saying, here, look at this specific information before you answer.
That's a perfect way to put it.
Yeah.
You're giving it the specific facts it needs for that particular question or task.
Mm-hmm.
The source explains RAG as merging two things. A pre-trained language model, that's the generator creating the text.
Okay.
An external knowledge index, which is handled by something called a retriever.
Retriever and generator. Got it.
And the text mentions this approach came out of Facebook AI research. It showed pretty quickly much better results on tasks that need a lot of specific knowledge, like question answering, checking facts. It just generated language that was way more precise and factual.
Okay, so it's this combo. Get the right info first, then generate. That makes sense. The article digs into the how, right? It talks about the architecture of these two players, the retriever and the generator. Let's start with the retriever. What's its specific job?
The retriever is basically the smart search engine part of the system. Its job is to sift through potentially huge amounts of information. Could be databases inside a company, documents, maybe even stuff on the web.
And the source mentioned it can connect to, like, business systems.
Yeah, exactly. Things like CRMs, ERP systems, cloud storage, other line of business apps. But its key function isn't just searching. It's about intelligently filtering and finding only the pieces of information that are most relevant to the user's specific question.
Like a super efficient librarian finding the exact paragraph you need.
That's a great analogy. And that specific relevant info it digs up, That becomes the context that gets passed on. The article actually gives Bing Chat as an example of something using this kind of mechanism to pull in current info rather than just relying on the model's cutoff date.
Got it. So the retriever fetches the relevant snippets, and then the generator, which is the LLM, it takes those snippets and what?
And it generates the final answer. The generator, the LLM, takes that context provided by the retriever and uses that information to craft the response in natural language. It bases its answer specifically on the facts it was just given.
So it's grounded in the retrieved info.
Precisely. Grounded.
Yeah.
That ensures the answer is much more likely to be factual and directly relevant to the query and the specific context. The article also notes you can use things like prompt engineering here to further guide how the LLM uses that context, something we've touched on before.
Okay, that high-level idea, find context, then generate based on it clicks. Can you walk us through the actual sequence, the step-by-step the source describes? Like when I ask a question, what happens?
Sure. The text lays out a pretty standard flow. So it starts when you, the user, submit a query, ask a question. First, that question, your text, gets turned into a numerical format, usually a vector.
A mathematical representation.
Exactly. Captures the meaning numerically. Then the retriever component takes this vector and uses it to search. It searches through an index, usually an index of documents that have been broken down into smaller chunks.
Chunks, like paragraphs or something.
Yeah, smaller pieces of text. It looks for the chunks whose own vectors are mathematically closest to the query vector. That closeness means they're semantically relevant. They're talking about the same concepts as your question.
Okay, so the math helps find the best matching pieces from the knowledge base.
Right. And once it finds those relevant chunks, that information is combined with your original query. Together, they form what's called an augmented prompt.
Augmented. So it's my question plus that, this extra context it found.
Exactly. It's not just your question anymore. It's your question supercharged with relevant facts.
And that whole thing gets sent to the LLM.
That's the critical next step.
Yeah.
This augmented prompt query plus context goes to the LLM. And crucially, the LLM is usually instructed to generate its response based only on the information provided right there in that prompt.
Use this context. Don't just rely on your training data.
Precisely. The retrieved context becomes its primary source of truth for answering your specific question.
Wow. Okay. That really changes the game. It's not just drawing on its, you know, vast but maybe outdated internal knowledge. It's using a targeted data set you just handed it. So why is this so important, especially for businesses? The article listed some key benefits, right?
Oh, absolutely. It's transformative for several reasons, particularly in an enterprise setting. A huge one is accessing up-to-date information, pulling from external sources that are current.
Makes sense.
What else? Another critical one is using private data. Companies can finally leverage their own internal reports, customer data, internal wikis, whatever, to ground the AI's responses. That's massive for building tools that are actually useful within that specific company.
And I guess that directly tackles the hallucination problem we talked about.
Exactly. That's a core benefit the article highlights. A significant reduction in hallucinations and much better factual accuracy. Because the LLM is told, often very explicitly, answer only using this context.
It's less likely to just make stuff up.
Right. It's answering based on verifiable sources you provided. The article also mentions just generally enhanced response quality and relevance. If the AI is grounded in specific, accurate data, the output is naturally going to be better, more diverse, more customized for what the user actually needs.
And using verifiable sources, that sounds like it improves safety too.
Definitely. AI safety is another benefit mentioned. Relying on retrieved sources, which you could potentially trace or cite, builds trust. And then there's flexibility. RG lets LLMs tackle really complex questions that need information from massive amounts of text, internal or external, far more than could ever fit in a standard prompt.
This sounds incredibly powerful, like turning a generalist AI into a specialist on demand. But building this, it can't be trivial, right? The article went into the components and steps needed to actually implement RG.
No, you're right. It's definitely an engineering effort. It requires putting several key pieces together. It really starts with data ingestion and preparation. You've got to get the data from wherever it lives, APIs, files, databases.
All the messy enterprise data sources.
Exactly. And that often means a lot of work cleaning it, transforming it, maybe structuring it, especially company data, so it's actually usable by the RG system.
Mm.
Robust data pipelines are pretty key here.
And you mentioned earlier that LLMs can only handle so much text at once, the context window limit.
Right, which leads directly to the next step, chunking. You have to break down those potentially long documents into smaller, manageable pieces, chunks.
How do you decide how big the chunks should be?
Well, the source discusses different ways. You could do fixed-length chunks, or maybe use NLP libraries like NLTK or Spacy, the article mentions, to be smarter about it, like breaking its sentence or paragraph boundaries. What works best depends on the text itself, the kinds of questions people will ask, and definitely the context window size of the LLM you plan to use. Oh, and using some overlap between chunks is often a good idea, the source notes, to make sure you don't lose important context right at the chunk boundary.
Okay, break it into overlapping pieces. Then you need a fast way to find the right piece when a question comes in. How's that done?
That's where embeddings come in. Each of those text chunks gets converted into a numerical vector, an embedding. You use a special model for this, an embedding model. The article mentions ones like text embedding ADA 002 or 003.
And these embeddings capture the meaning.
Exactly. They capture the semantic meaning. So chunks that talk about similar things will have vectors that are mathematically close in this high-dimensional space.
Fascinating. And where do you store all these chunks and their vector embeddings?
They go into specialized databases called vector databases. The article gives examples like Redis, Azure AI Search, Pinecone, Weaviate. These databases are built specifically for handling vectors efficiently. They create a vector index.
An index for vectors?
Yeah, which lets you do incredibly fast similarity searches, finding vectors that are close to a target vector, like our query vector. The source also points out that some platforms like Azure AI Search can do hybrid search, combining that vector similarity with traditional keyword search. It can be really effective.
Okay, so data ingested, cleaned, chunked, embedded, and indexed in a vector DB. Now I ask my question. Walk me through the search.
Right. So your question, your query, also gets converted into a vector using the exact same embedding model that was used for the chunks.
Consistency is key.
Absolutely. Then this query vector is used to search against the vector index in the database. The database very quickly finds and returns the chunks whose stored vectors are most similar, most close to your query vector. Those are the most semantically relevant bits of info from your entire knowledge base for that specific question.
And those are the chunks that get sent to the LLM?
Almost. There's one more critical step before the LLM sees anything. Prompt formulation. You have to dynamically build the prompt that goes to the LLM.
Build the prompt?
Yeah. You take the user's original query and you insert the relevant chunks you just retrieved. This whole package query plus context is put together, often using a specific API format like the chat completion API. And importantly, you include instructions for the LLM.
Like use only this information.
Exactly that kind of instruction. Answer the question based only on the provided context. And there's a technical constraint here the article mentions, managing the token budget. You have to make sure the query plus all the retrieved chunks don't exceed the LLM's maximum input size, its context window limit.
Right. Can't send it too much stuff.
Yeah.
And then, finally.
Then, that carefully constructed augmented prompt is passed to the LLM API. The LLM takes it all in and generates the final answer in natural language, using the query for direction and, crucially, relying on that specific retrieved context as its factual foundation.
Wow. Okay, so there's quite a pipeline there. Ingestion, chunking, embedding, indexing, retrieval, prompt construction, all before the LLM even generates a word. But just getting it working technically isn't the end of the story for a business, is it? The article mentioned deployment considerations for actually using this in an enterprise.
Absolutely. Getting RAG into production reliably involves thinking about several other factors. Scalability is huge. The system needs to handle potentially lots of users, and the data keeps growing. Vector databases help here. They're often designed to scale.
Performance must be key, too. People won't wait forever for an answer.
Definitely. Performance and latency. You need to track things like token usage, how long it takes to get a response back, which leads to observability. You need good monitoring and logging. The article mentions tools like MLflow or Prometheus, ways to see what's happening, track performance, and debug when things go wrong.
And it has to play nice with existing systems, I imagine.
Exactly. Integration.
Yeah.
How does this RAG system fit into the company's existing workflows and applications? And finally, maybe most importantly for enterprise, security and governance. Well, you need robust security. You need to manage data access, making sure users only retrieve information they're actually allowed to see based on their permissions.
Mm.
And of course, ensuring everything complies with relevant industry regulations or data privacy laws. So, you know, when you step back, the article really paints RAG as this foundational technique. It fundamentally changes how we can use these powerful LLMs.
Yeah, it seems like it transforms them from being these like general knowledge boxes with static info into dynamic tools that can actually interact with specific current even private company data.
That's it, exactly. It cleverly combines finding the right information efficiently, the retrieval part, with the amazing text generation abilities of LLMs. And by doing that, RAG really empowers organizations to build AI applications that are much more accurate, much more relevant to their specific needs, and safer because they're grounded in verifiable information. They can be tailored to a company's unique knowledge landscape.
That really was a deep dive into RAG. Breaking down the what, the why, and the how based on that source material. Really helpful. Thank you.
My pleasure. And maybe it's something for you, the listener, to think about. Considering how important it is to ground AI in specific, verifiable knowledge, how might this idea of retrieval augmented generation start to reshape the way you think about finding, trusting, and using information in your own work or your studies, or maybe even just in everyday life?